Glory to God. Well, this morning, guess what we're going to be teaching on? Hallelujah. Can't get off of it. God has to, from what I see, this ain't going to be the last one either. We're dealing over it because we're touching in, God wants to touch into numbers of areas of faith, and especially laying out the foundation. You know, I learned from Kenneth Hagin in the beginning, he said that if you learn the principles of faith, he said it works in every area of your Christian walk. So you apply it. See, some people, they only apply it to certain things. And you learn that faith operates the same in any area of your Christian walk. So whatever you learn in Christianity, you know, it's like righteousness. If you live righteousness is by faith. If you want to live a righteous life, you got to learn to live it by faith. You use the principles of faith to live righteous. Abraham was considered righteous when he obeyed God. Then it says he was declared righteous. See, he wasn't righteous because, you know, he was just, you know, like God and did some things. He was righteous because he followed the principles of faith. He heard from God. He began to say what God said, and he went and did what God said. And he was considered righteous. And it's the same with us. We walk by faith, and so the principles of faith stand. We were teaching on Abraham, and we looked at Abraham and his obedience. He obeyed God and how he trusted God, what he did in offering his son Isaac. And so Abraham was sure of one thing, and Abraham was sure that God was not a liar, that what God said he was going to do, he would do. And so we talked about that last week, you know, that Abraham, it says in the book of Hebrews, you know, in other words, he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. That's what he believed, the scriptures tell us. That's what he believed. In other words, God would have had to do that. He had to, or God would have had been lying about what he promised him. He told him that through Isaac, his seed was going to be. So he told him that, and then he said, go offer Isaac up. Well, he was going to have to raise Isaac from the dead. He said he came to that conclusion, and he concluded that. You need to sit down and meditate in the Word till you get some conclusions. You know, this is what I've watched people do in faith all the time, and why many times people start out in faith and end up in unbelief, and things don't work. They start off believing God, and circumstances change, so they change. And see, you can't do that. Abraham, the circumstances to him did not change the promise of God. He didn't change what he believed God would do because the circumstance changed. And so, you know, as people come along and, you know, they'll be believing God and something else come along, then, well, you know, maybe God doesn't want to do this and maybe I need to stand there looking. No, well, you're standing in faith. Just stand there. Don't change it. I always looked the face when the Lord showed me years ago when I was a young Christian concerning Jesus and dealing with Jairus. And Jairus said, if you come and lay hands on my daughter, she'll live and not die. And so somebody came to him and said, before they got there, he said, too late, she's dead. And Jesus looked at him and said, Jairus, only believe. In other words, what you were believing and saying, you stay put on it. And Jesus got to the house. Jesus said, she's not dead. Now, we know she was dead. And Luke says she was dead. Said her spirit had left her body. Her spirit had left her body. She's dead. The body without the spirit's dead, the Bible says. So she was dead. But Jesus, what? He's hooked up on Jairus' faith. Thank God Jairus didn't change. If Jairus would have stopped and said, well, I'm going to have to believe for her being raised to the dead, he may not have been able to believe that. God said, Jesus said, you just stay where you are. Now that was God speaking because Jesus said, I don't say nothing the Father don't say. God said, don't change what you're believing. I'll go with you. It's easier to wake up somebody that's sleeping than raise them from the dead. Jesus went along with his faith and it accomplished exactly what he desired. And so we need to understand these things about faith. We need to come to some conclusions about faith and its operation. Meditate on the Word till you understand how it works. It is of no avail to you believing the Word of God if you can't do it. You're only going to have what you can do. It don't matter how much you know. It's what you can do is what the outcome of what you're going to have. And so, you know, as Randall Greer says all the time, I've heard him say this so many times. He said, it ain't, you know, your believing isn't what's going to make you a success. It's what you believe and do that makes you a success. See, and many people aren't successful. They believe the right things, but that ain't what they do. They say, oh yeah, that's true. Yep. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe this, what God said. And then they go off and do other things, no other than what the Word says. Well, you can't take it all literal, you know. We can't take this thing so literal, you know. Can't do that. Well, what's the point of believing it? If it ain't literal, let's trash the thing. If we can't take what it says, so, excuse me, we need to walk in the truth of the Word of God. I want to look again concerning action of faith. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about this a number of weeks back about it, but every time I went to teach it, it was like, it ain't time, he'd do something else. But I'm going to do this morning. We're going to look at the things, and really the action of faith. We're going to look at the action of faith. We've talked about this some before, but I'm going to specifically talk about it. It's Thanksgiving. It's one of the things that most Christians, and I've talked about this and mentioned it back during the during Thanksgiving time, when we celebrate Thanksgiving. Most people, when they think of thanking God, they thank God for what they've already seen has been happen. And so, and they think that, well, you know, it's really good, and that is good, being thankful for what's happening. But that isn't, that takes no faith to do that. It doesn't take any faith for you to thank God for what you see with your eyes. Anybody can do that, can't they? Now, we live in a society today where people don't even say thank you anymore. They expect you all to do something for them, which is a very heathenistic society. I'll tell you, today, America is a very heathen culture. Very heathen culture. Unthankful, ungrateful. You know, think everything ought to come free. Everything, you just ought to get stuff and just think that's the American society, and that's the society of most of the world's got like that today. You know, a lot of people that, you know, want to come in the United States, illegal. People want to come in. They want to come in because they want something for nothing. They don't want to have to, I don't want to stay and fight for my country and change it. I want to go where somebody else bled and died. I want to go to that country and get a free load. You know, that's what I want to do. You know, these people say, well, yeah, well, you know, they're leaving because, you think here in America didn't have problems? You think the Civil War was just a nice civil thing? You think the Revolutionary War was a nice just little thing that went on and nobody was put in danger? You know, what would have happened if everybody here that was in the Revolutionary Army would have sent their families out of the country and everybody would have sent, go live someplace else where it's real safe. Because we don't want to sacrifice a thing. See, the church is full of heathen thing they call love, but it's heathenism. If you ain't really willing to die for what you believe, you're pretty worthless. See, people want something. Look for somebody else to die for me. Well, Jesus did. He died for me. I don't need somebody else. There's things I must stand for and I must do. I must be willing. Number one, I'm willing to die for this gospel. I told the Lord Jesus Christ when I first got born again, I will give my life for this gospel. I submit myself to you and I'll do whatever you want me to do. If I have to give my life up to do it, I will do it. And I want to tell you what, I've said that to him so many times over the years, and I'm settled on the fact, I will give my life for this gospel. This thing is worth dying for. This is why Christianity is so shallow today, because people are so shallow. They're glad Jesus died, and they're still trying to get somebody else to die for them so they don't have to put up with anything or do anything. They're always looking at somebody else, suffer for me. And this thing is worth dying for. You know, it's one thing if it isn't worth dying for, then you don't think it's much worth living for. Anything that you won't die for, you'll never live much for it. And this is one thing as we have, is why today in America we haven't heard so much people coming along, you know, everybody's looking for things. People aren't willing to die for whatever it takes to run this country. They ain't willing to give a thing for it. You know, we want to get somebody else to go in the military and go fight wars for us. I don't want to do it. I don't want my kids to go and die. I don't want my children to. I don't want none of that. Well, then just help these idiots out here. Help go along with them and help give the country up. Somebody's going to want to have to kind of stand for this thing that we like or we love. Now, I didn't plan none of this, but I'll tell you, this is good preaching. There's much in the church world today is really cowardice. We're cowards when it comes to Jesus. We're cowards of coming and standing up. We need to come back. You know, it's like Brother Hagin used to tell us and said, I heard him say this many times. He said, the church ought to have a backbone like a crowbar, but he says, most Christians have a backbone like a string. Is in other words, there's things you just got to stand up for stuff. You got to walk in stuff. And it's one thing about it. There will things come against you. You start going out here and standing, you make a stand, I'll guarantee the devil will be knocking on your door shortly. But I ain't afraid he comes knocking on the door. He's a whipped foe. I ain't worried about him. I ain't worried about dying. If I die, I go to heaven. Dear Lord, and I don't have to put up with you. Dear God, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, think about it. If you left, you don't have to put up with us. You get to go to heaven, be with Jesus, and everything's glorious and perfect. Isn't that a shame? That is just so awful. That is just a terrible thing. That's awful to think about, isn't it? I have to go put up with Jesus. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. But anyhow, Abraham was not afraid. Abraham didn't have fear. We're going to look at Thanksgiving. I want us to go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. It's a scripture we probably all have heard. I ain't going to preach anything new to you today. But I'm just going to reinforce with what you do know and to speak to you. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 6, I'm going to start there. It says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't have any kind of anxiety about anything. Anxiety comes, anxiety, depression, worry. It's all in this thing. It says here in the scriptures, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said to them, don't worry about anything. Don't have any fear or anxiety. Now, I want you to understand why fear and anxiety. When people have fears, anxieties, worries, whatever it is, the reason that exists is because what the person thinks and believes. You need to understand that. You know, it's like myself. You know, when I first come into Christianity, that's one thing I had to deal with. Because worry, my life, whether you want to admit it or not, many of you are exactly the same way. Some people don't ever deal with it in their entire Christian walk. They still, they are in the world, they were worriers, and they just carry it through. They don't ever deal with it. I had to deal with worry because, you know, it's like I said, my mom was a worrier. We were taught, you worried about everything. You know, you worried. Why? Because I found out it was this. I listened to Kenneth Hagin, and he said, that's faithlessness. And I said, well, my words. That's why he said, I'd rather have a church, he said, with drug dealers and bootleggers than, he says, warriors. He said, warriors are worse sinners than any group. He said, because you get warriors in your church, and if you preach about the problems with worry, people get mad at you. He said, because we don't consider worry a sin. Worry's a sin. It's unbelief. Whatever isn't of faith is a sin. You know, when I started seeing those things as a young Christian, I thought, man, I'm going to have to deal with this thing. I'm in sin. I'm in sin. Worry's a sin. Worry means this is what I'm believing and what I'm thinking. I'm thinking something evil and bad. It's going to happen to me. I'm not believing. I'm not believing for the blessing of God. See, it doesn't matter. You can quote what the Bible says. It's what you actually believe. You start acting that thing out. And worry is acting out your unbelief. That's what it is. It's the actions working. What you believe. You believe something bad's going to happen. And so if something does come along and it's bad, you believe it's going to get me and put me under and you'll do that or somebody else or whatever. You get tied into that. You know, we go over here and it says, don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. Gee, I thought that, you know, to me at first, I thought, man, yeah, that can it really go that far where you don't worry about anything? I got to go that far that I was in a church and that church was right here in Lebanon. And I had people tell me in that church there was something wrong with me because I wouldn't worry. They told me there was something the matter with me. I wasn't loving because I wouldn't worry. I'm going to tell you, if you drop over off your chair today and die, I ain't worrying. What good is it going to do to worry? You know, Kenneth Hagin said his wife got mad at him. His wife said to him one day, he got home and said he went out the door of the house to go in there carrying the kids to go in. And she said, you know, she said, I think if me and the kids dropped dead, you wouldn't even worry about that. He said, well, why should I worry then? He said, what good's that going to do? And she said, she got really mad at him. She got mad at him over that. You got to worry. And said, well, he said, well, she learned over time, said she don't worry no more either. Said, now she don't worry anymore. But you know, as you need to, you come to the place, the things that most people worry about never happen to begin with. But the whole thing of it is, worry never does anything but destroy and ruin you. That's all it does. Worry will destroy you and ruin you. That's what it does. You live a life of heartache all the time. You live a life where you're turning around, things aren't good. You can get over it. If you follow scriptures, it's one of the things that I realized, getting the Word of God in me. The Word of God became so much a belief in me that when something came along, I'd say, well, the Bible says this or that, then that's true. That other thing ain't going to be happening to me. What's going to happen to me is what the Bible said. That's what's going to happen to me. That's what I'm going to have. See, I had to come to that. Now I want to think, Abraham came to that spot where God told him one day to go offer his son with a sacrifice, and he got up the next day, the Bible says, and went and did it. Now a warrior would have never done that. A warrior would have never obeyed God. Lots of times that's why people don't obey God, because they're worried, well, what if I do this? What if I do that? You know, when the Lord told me to go to Ramah, I had a wife, I had two children, I had a good job, and God told me to go to a place where I didn't even have a place to live. I didn't even have a job going there. We had no guarantee from a natural standpoint of income or anything, is to go move there, is to go do that. Well, now, if you're a worrier, you won't do that. You'd stop and say, well, now, how am I going to figure out how am I going to get all this done and do that? How am I going to make this work? Well, that can, you know, I had Christians. I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. I didn't have one sinner when I told them and let them know that the company that I was leaving. People who worked in my department I was in. These people came to me, and different ones who were sinners, and they came to me and they said, well, it's something you'd, leave, at your age, you're going to go off and go to school and stuff, and that there's really something. I never had one sinner say anything to me of any doubt or unbelief. The only doubt and unbelief I got was from the worrier Christians. Well, do you think God really wants you to leave a good job and go out there and do this? And that's the worry Christian. Here come the Christians. Now, I don't know what kind of Christian they are. I don't know what Christ they follow. I don't know. But when you can get the world to get behind you and the church don't, you're in trouble. And I just couldn't imagine, these people, and I knew from them in their life, because I knew them around as Christians there, and I thought, they'll never do anything and follow God. They're only going to do whatever pleases them, and they're going to call it Christianity. They're going to call it loving God and everything, when really, they don't trust God at all. They're only going to do what's convenient. If you're going to only do what's convenient, you're going to have a convenient God, which is probably going to conveniently ignore you many times. And you're going to wonder why things don't work. See, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. The full blessing is when you're in the will of God. The full blessing does not come with you doing what you think. You know, your full blessing don't come because you ask God to bless you. If you're disobedient, you're into worries and fears, you're not going to have the full blessing of God on you. It won't happen. It's not going to happen to you. And I'm going to say this to be mean. It's just the way it is. It's how the laws and rules of the Spirit work. You're not going to have the blessing being in worries and fears. What you're going to do is you're going to have the wringing of hands. You're going to have nights that you're going to have trouble going to bed and sleeping. And praise God. I'll tell you what, I know what those days, I know as a sinner, I know what that was like. You know, you took drugs and you did drinking so you could not worry so much about things. You did things. You took a sedative. Today, we as Christians go get our sedatives from our doctors, and because it's a legal prescription, it's okay to hide our worries and fears behind our drugs. Because God says okay then. It's all right. Because the government said it's okay. The doctor could give it to you. Woo! Good preaching. And then we say, that drug addict, that guy out there on the street, he's smarter. He's doing it cheaper than you. And so he's smarter than you are. At least he's having fun at it in his flesh. You ain't even having fun at it. Boy, I'm meddling, ain't I? Well, folks, see, these are conclusions I came to in life. See, if you make a way of escape for you, you'll take it every time. If you get setting a place for you so you can get out of the will of God, you'll take it every time. But you come to conclusions. And I came to some conclusions. I'm not going to try to escape this thing that I'm dealing with, this worry problem. I ain't going to escape this thing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find out from the Bible what I do. And so what I did find out was faith. You meditate and stay in the Word and confess the Word and say the Word and speak the Word and believe the Word. Walk in the light as Word as much as you know how to do. And I found out worry and fear started leaving me. I didn't have the problems with worry and fear. The more I trusted the Word of God and started acting on the Word of God. See, many people, I want, pray for me, and I don't worry about something. Well, are you believing the Word and you're acting on the Word? If you're not, me praying for you won't do a thing for you. It won't do anything. You're going to have to, prayer doesn't override doing the right thing. It doesn't override it, yet people think that. People don't do the right thing and then they ask people to pray for them. Well, what good's that going to do? Pray for me that God fixes me without me having to cooperate or have to deal with my flesh at all. I don't have to suffer anything. Would you suffer in prayer for me so I don't have to? Would you spend time in your prayer closet so I can go do what I want to do and get blessed? Woo! Man, he's meddling this boy, I'll tell you today. Anyhow, so all that came out of those few words. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Now, but what is he saying this? But in everything. Does he say in some things? In some stuff. Well, maybe in at least two or three things. In everything. Now, he makes this statement here. Everything by prayer and supplication. Now, in other words, we can turn around and pray. Now, see, we deal in the areas of prayer many times is always just turn around asking for something. That could be part of it. He's talking about supplications, prayers and supplications. But, you know, when we deal with prayer, prayer is really a big subject. And eventually we'll go over into talking about some things about prayer. Because you get in the areas of prayer, when you're dealing with worship and all that stuff, you're dealing with prayer. Prayer isn't just going and asking from God for something. Sometimes, like prayer, like, you know, you can do, I take the word many times to prayer, and I talk to God about the word. I want to know things about the word. And what I'm doing is I'm asking to find out revelation or what he wants to do and things. It's not just trying to get, you know, I need some more money. I need this or I need that. Most people, that's their prayer life. Most people don't ever go outside of that. Of dealing with their needs, what they consider their needs. And they don't go outside of that. But he tells us to do something here. He said supplications and prayers. Now understand, asking for things is part of it. But it's not everything. He said what? Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. What's he talking about here with thanksgiving? Well, being thankful for what you have. This is most, this is a lot of the idea of teaching that people do in these things. They talk about prayer. They'll say, okay, and we pray, then we thanksgiving. Be thankful for what you got. That's good. But there's the thanksgiving of faith is taking the time to thank God for what he said he was going to give you that you don't see with your eye is thanking him and spending time in thanksgiving with him that he's going to do that for you, that that will be done. See, that's a sign of faith. You have not believed that God is going to do something for you till you have turned around and thanked him for it before you see it with your eye. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, I remember as a young Christian, and he talked about this. He said, in teaching areas of faith, he said, when my family got together and we would agree on something on prayer, he said, we would pray and we would believe we received it. And he said, then we would put a thing on our refrigerator reminding us of what we believe God gave us. And we'd put it on our refrigerator. And he said, well, with my wife and myself and even the kids, we told them, every time you go to the refrigerator and you see that, you thank God that he's done that for us. This is what most people do. They go and remind it and then go ask God again for it like he didn't give it to them. That's what most people call prayer. They say, well, yeah, you know, God, I don't see it yet. So, God, please give it to me. Oh, God, I need that. Oh, God. And what they're doing is they're destroying everything they prayed for in the first place. See, when you pray and you believe God did it, how could you believe you received it and then go talk to God like he didn't give it to you yet? Well, then you didn't get it. He didn't believe you received it. You see, this is where the thanksgiving, this is the power of faith by thanksgiving. Is whenever you see it. See, I've learned that. I never go back. Once I believe I received something, the only thing I ever do with God after that point is thanksgiving about it. Whenever that thing comes to my mind about it, it's thankful. I don't ask God to heal me again. I don't care if my body's telling me, you know, this ain't working. And I go, thank you, Lord. God, I'm so glad I'm healed. Thank you for healing me. I just want to let you know how I appreciate so much that you healed me. I just thank you. I'm so glad. See, I haven't seen it. I don't feel it. I have nothing. That's thanksgiving by faith. If you don't learn to do that, your faith is going to stay about that big. Because you're always going to go back and tear up everything you did believe by asking like it didn't happen. That's not faith. Faith is believing. I want to tell you it works. My daughter, Elena, was, and I told this story numbers of times before, but she was only, she's about 10, 11 years old. And they brought her home from school, and she was in an arm in a sling, and they said about she hit her elbow, and about taking her to the doctor and that stuff to see if the elbow was actually broken or whatever went on and all that kind of stuff. And so they brought her home, and she had her arm in a sling. And I said to the Lord, and we were going to pray about it. I wanted to talk to her about it. And the Lord spoke to me before I talked to her about it and said, don't you pray the prayer of faith for her. She knows how to do it. Now, this is one thing. See, I know this stuff works. I'm just ashamed how many adults can't get stuff to work because my 10, 11-year-old daughter did. And don't go on to that stupid stuff it's taught about, oh, children's faith. Look. You're a little, compared to God, you're a little baby, so get over it. Quit thinking you're so darn smart. Most of you are spiritual babies. If you think yourself any brighter, you're not going to go anywhere in your faith. Faith works because of God, not because you're a genius. It don't work because I'm a genius. It works because of Him. If you don't have childlike faith, you ain't in God's kind of faith at all. There's no adult faith and kids' faith in God's kingdom. Faith is the same. The reason adults have trouble, they think they're smart. They don't humble themselves to the Word. Kids don't know it very much, so they can't. They don't get into all the complications. See, some of you think you know too much, and that's been your great hindrance of faith. Now, what I need to know is what the promise says. I don't need to know. I don't have to figure out anything beyond that. Once I know what the promise says, I determine whether I want to believe it. It isn't hard to believe. No one has a harder time believing in any other person. You just have a harder time whether you choose to believe it or not. That's up to you. You either make it hard or you make it easy. You know, when I wanted to quit worrying, I just decided God's words was true and Ed's wrong. So that took away all the things. God's right, Ed's wrong. I didn't sit down and try to find an escape out of it. Well, but what about this and what about that? See, that's your mind working over there trying to sidestep what is easy to do. When I went and settled the fact that Ed needed to change and I'm going to have to get into the Word to change, it became easy to deal with it. But as long as I looked at it as a fact of, wow, not worrying, what is this, what's that? It was so foreign, like I said, the people in our church that I went to told us there was something wrong with me. I had some kind of weird personality because I wouldn't worry. Well, I know with them, they were pretty faithless people. Now, I ain't saying that to be mean. You can't be. If you think somebody don't worry, something's wrong with them, there's something wrong with you. Get over it. You're weird. You're yielding to what's evil. Worry's not good. And see, I realized I had to move away from worry. I got to get away from this thing because I wanted to be able to operate in faith. I listened to Kenneth Hagin talk about what he did through faith in God, and I think, I want to go to that place. And worry wasn't one of the places he went to. It's a place he went from. So I wanted to get there. But anyhow, so Elena, so the Lord said, you tell her you can agree with her. So we sat down. You know, lots of times, like when people think about praying for healing or anything like that, I just make a confession. I just say something. And I just say, thank God I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I believe I'm healed. I just receive that. I don't stop and, oh, dear Lord Jesus, and go anything. I don't do that. I just, because the Bible tells me we do one of two different ways. You can do the things of praying if you want to. I've learned over time, I just confess. The Lord taught me to do things. Just say stuff, and I just do. I make a confession. But anyhow, I said to her, the Lord talked to me and told me that I wasn't supposed to pray with you, but I can agree with you. He said, you know how to believe. So I just said to her, I said, what does the Word say concerning healing? Well, she quoted a couple scriptures. Now, number one, I want to tell you, this is one thing is adults have a hard time. Because adults come all the time and want prayer for it. But if I'd ask them what the scriptures are standing on, most of them will have to stop and stutter and figure a while. Why? Because they haven't been overlooking the scriptures. They want something, but they aren't. The promise is, what gives me that in the Bible? What says I can have it? You know, you go into court of law and you got a stupid lawyer and don't know the law. Don't be surprised they locked you up. See, the devil's going to win in the court of law over you if you don't know what rightfully is yours. You can sit and ask for things all you want. God don't answer your prayer because you ask. Everybody in the world would get everything they wanted. Is that happening? No, it ain't happening. So I told her, I said, and she told me a couple of scriptures. I said, okay. I said, you pray concerning those scriptures and I'll agree with you. So she prayed concerning those scriptures. It took maybe a minute and a half. That's about it. See, you're going in for long prayers of kinds of things and that kind of stuff. We don't pray for the missionaries when we do that and that kind of stuff. We just, we just dealing right with what you do. And she prayed. And I said, now we're going to do something. I said, we're going to do really the most important thing, and you spend the most time doing it. So I was taught by Kenneth Hagin. He said, you ought to spend 20 times more time giving thanks after you pray than you do with the prayer to get it. If you're not doing that, do you really thankful? And I said, so we're taking time and we're just going to sit here and we're going to thank God he's healed you. Hallelujah. So I wanted to get her to do that. See, I'm getting her to act in line with the word of God. Why? Because I had done this so many times. Even when they were little, I did it and they got healed. I got healed. We got things, God. I learned this. It works. I'm not telling you something just because the Bible says it. I saw the Bible said it and I've been doing this for years and it works. See, in most people, what they're going to do, they're going to really get excited when it shows up. All my excitement is on the day I pray. The day I pray, I know it's mine. It doesn't blow my mind when it shows up. It's supposed to show up. That's the norm. I remember one time my wife and I bought a new car. We had ordered one specifically, certain things we wanted, and we ordered a car. When it came in, we didn't go, woo, the car, oh, we got the car, woo. We'd already ordered the thing. We knew they were going to get it and send it to us. We were excited the day we bought it. Not the day it showed up, because we already knew. Wouldn't that have been stupid of us acting like we didn't know it was going to show up? I always think that with Christians. Christians talk about, faith and believe in God, and I watch them. They look at when that thing shows up, they're as surprised as the sinners are when something good happens. Folks, this is good preaching. I'm teaching you about faith. You ought to take your running spell the time that you believe you received it. That's when you ought to go take your running spell and acting like you got something. And that's what we did. We just sat there probably for 10, 15 minutes just thanking God, worshiping. Oh, we're just so glad. Thank you, Lord God, for healing her. Thank you, Lord God, that she's healed in the name of Jesus. And we did that for a while. See, one of the things, that'll inspire your faith. See, many people have weak faith because they never inspire it. They never inspire it. They pray and they believe. Spend time inspiring your faith, keeping yourself, saying the right stuff out of your mouth, confessing you believe you got it. I never met anybody who got born again and years later come up and say, well, I don't know if I'm saved. It didn't surprise me. I just say to them, you don't walk around saying you're saved, do you? You walk around, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, I said, you have exactly what you say. You're walking around depressing yourself, doing nothing, instead of, thank God I'm saved. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what's going on. I believe Jesus is Lord. I'm born again. I don't need a feeling to be saved. See, this is the life of faith. You ain't going to ever, most of the time, get much of good feelings if you don't ever do something about your mouth and your believing and your action. If you don't get them in line, you ain't going to have much to shout about. You're going to always go to Benny Hinn services and watch somebody else get them. You're going to have to go listen on TV and them give testimonies about what somebody else got. You said, ain't that something? Isn't God amazing? I'm going to tell you what, I don't need to watch TV. I'll tell you personally, God's amazing. The stuff he has done for me, he's amazing. He's incredible, the things that he's done. Glory to God, because of experiencing him. It isn't just for Ed Gibson. It's in these things of learning these principles here. He said, what do we do it with thanksgiving? And then listen what he says. And so you can know why many times it hasn't worked for people. He said, with thanksgiving, he said, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. Verse 7 will not happen till you do verse 6. It will not happen. If you're worrying and praying, if you're a worry prayer, verse 7 will not happen for you. If you don't get over in the areas of thanksgiving, he says, and what happens? If you do this according to Scripture, your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, you're thanking God he's doing it. And here's what he says. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why? If you do verse 6. If you do verse 6, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. People are always trying to get, I'll pray for me to have peace. Well, you ain't going to have peace if you keep doing worrying. You ain't going to have peace. Me praying for you to have peace ain't going to give you peace. Peace. I learned this a long time ago. I had more to do with peace in my life. I'll be honest with you. I never pray about having peace. I never pray about it. I go to the scripture and get it. Read what the scripture says and peace will come to you. Hallelujah. Believe what it says. Say what it says. Act on what it says and you'll have peace. I'll tell you, when things are going bad, get the scriptures out. The Word of God says this. The Word of God says, hallelujah. And you know what? Peace that passes all understanding comes and guards my hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, when that peace comes, you're going to have many times, because sometimes the Bible tells us it's through faith and patience we inherit the promise. Now, we would like to have everything instant. I just want to tell you, ain't happening. You would not need any, if everything happened in just instantly, you'd always stay at weenie faith. That's right. You'd just be a weenie faither. You can't last 10 minutes. Thank God. You know, I was in the military. Thank God for the guys that were with you that could last over 10 minutes. You know, we might have had the best weapons and all that kind of stuff, but I'll tell you, you win over duration. You don't win over just because you got the best, biggest gun in town. If you ain't ever noticed that. Thank God for people who had duration, who could endure. Hallelujah. Well, we have to, as Christians, we have to endure. Now, he said, this peace, because what happens when you start off and you get this in faith, and you've been sitting there for 10, 15, 20 minutes and just thanking God he gave it to you, you're all excited. Hallelujah. Then you leave the church or you leave your bedroom where you did this, and you go downstairs and somebody is doing something you didn't want done. Then what happens? The peace just... out the window. There it goes. There went my peace. Now I'm back over to the thing. Things happen and you get all caught in the things that are happening and you start. I'm going to tell you, you don't do that. Now, we have verse 8. Verse 8 tells you how to maintain it. Now, folks, I know this. I'm not teaching this stuff because I was an expert at doing it. It took me years to get myself drilled and drilled where I would stand and learn to do these things. Because what happens? You go out there, things start happening. You know, I've done this already. I have prayed, believed God for healing, and then my body instantly started feeling better. And I'll tell you what, a few hours later, I thought a truck ran over me. And everything started coming back and worse. It started coming back on me. What do I do? What do I do? Well, number one, spend time thanking God. But verse 8 tells you what to do. You got to do something. He said, "What? Finally, brother, whatever things are true." In other words, think on truth. The Word of God's the truth. What are you supposed to think on? You're supposed to think on things, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report. If there's any virtue or any praise, there is anything praiseworthy, it says, meditate on these things. This is what you got to think on, what's good and what's right. Because see, when your body starts acting up doing something else, or, you know, you're believing God and the money, and then it just seems like another thing came, and there goes money. I'm believing God for money, and this happened. My God, what's going on? See, well, the thing you do, you will lose the battle if you don't control the mind. You can't let your mind run rampant and keep peace and joy. You ain't going to have it. It will not. You got to bring your mind under control. You got to think on what's right. You know, if you need to write some scriptures down just to keep them in your face to look at them, that's what God told Israel. He told them to write the scriptures, put them on your doorposts, put them here and there. Why? Because you're going to go out in this world. There's a devil out there. He's going to come knocking on your door. What you believe for, he's going to make it like it ain't happening. What are you going to do? You think on the scriptures, keep it around. He said, write it on the palm of your hand. Do it. He had all these things. Put it on your forehead. In other words, get it in your mind. Get to thinking what's right. What God said, that there's 12 spies. 12 spies. There was two guys that went in, Joshua and Caleb, who got the word in their hearts, in their minds, in their thinking, and thinking the right stuff, and 10 of them did not. 10 of them thought on everything but the Word of God. They didn't do that just because saw some bad stuff over there. They did that their whole time. They never trained themselves to think on the Word of God. They never. Then when pressure comes, what happens? What's going to happen? You're going to think on whatever you've been lazily sitting around when nothing was happening and what you've been thinking on. That's what you're going to be thinking on when the bad times come. If it ain't been the Word of God, if it ain't been what's right and true, oh my God. This is what people are trying to do. They're trying to get themselves in the middle of the storm, trying to get built again, trying to get built up, trying to get hooked up. Can't do that. Get your mind. Get over where you think on the right things. Think about yourself. This is why I have in certain confessions that I have confessions I do concerning my health and finances and things. because I do those things. Now, things are, I don't have no stress problems or anything like that. And things that some people would think are big, I don't even think are big because I don't worry about it. I ain't worried about it. If it don't work, God ain't said who he said he was. So it don't bother me. I don't consider it big. Because I can't do it anyhow. He's going to have to do it. He's going to have to make these things come to pass. That's his job. My job is just to believe him and act like it's true. That's my job. My job ain't going to try to figure out how to bring it to pass. Thank God I ain't got that job. Last time I checked, Ed wasn't Jesus, you know. Also, I received him, but he's still Lord. Ed ain't Lord, you know. I am a Lord, but on a much lower plane than he is Lord, you know. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but last time I checked the King of Kings, he is God, Ed ain't. So you're going to have to quit acting like God. Boy, that's going to be tough for some of you. Don't be God. Ain't no fun. You can't fill the shoes, and it's a tough job. It's a tough job. Don't be God. You know, some things you learn, and you guys, there's ones that some people, they've learned certain things, they don't. But we might have certain areas in our life we're still God in, you know. You know, you all know about this. There's certain areas that you still try to control. You're always trying to work. You're always trying to be God. Well, you got to get over there to those places and that stuff. It is such a relief off of you when you quit being God in certain areas of your life. It's like, whew, I should have gave this up a long time ago. Woo! I would have felt so much better if I would have thrown the towel in a long time ago on that one. Hallelujah. I'm still trying to control that thing. I'm still trying to run it. Praise God. I literally one day come and cast my care on him about that thing and said, that one's yours. We ain't going back to it no more. If that thing blows up and kills everybody, don't matter to me. I ain't worried about a lick. God, you said to turn it over to you. That's what we're doing. If you can't take care of it, then you slide over. I will be God. You ain't. But God can. And see, I talk to God like that. I don't know how you people talk about how you pray. I say to the Lord, Lord, if you can't take care of this, you ain't who you said you were. And I said, but I know you're everything you said you were. You know, he's so tickled I talk like that to him. I don't thee and thou him, you know, because I don't thee and thou you either. God's real. And I just tell him how much I believe he's real. I say, Lord, you know, you can't not take care of this. Your word would be a lie. And I'd have to tell everybody that you lied. That ain't no good. He's just so glad. See, I've come to those conclusions. What have you come to as a conclusion in the Word? Oh, I'd never say anything like that to God. I'd never do that. The violent take it by force. I'll tell you what, I put a demand on him. I put a demand on his word that he will perform it. He said he would. He said his word, he would perform it. Well, then I expect him to perform it. You know, sometimes the reason we don't see things happen as fast, we haven't pushed. It's learning when to do it. Sometimes I know, you know, I've been just sort of half-heartedly believing on this thing. I've been just willing. Sometimes we've waited longer than we need to. Sometimes you need to wait. You got to learn to listen in your spirit. But many times I've gone along and I realize, you know what? God's been wanting me to push on this thing. And I just stop and say, okay, Lord, I expect this thing to be happening. This ain't going on no more with this. I'm putting you to work like you said. You're going to do this and take care of it now. See, sometimes you need to come to those places. But people, you know, we've been taught this passive Christianity of, you know, and we really, that spirit of passive Christianity really dominates our areas here because of the religious groups that have been in the area. It's all passive. It's passive Christianity. God's in control. So, no matter what he said, he don't have to do it because he's God. See, we have to do everything right, but he don't have to. I'm going to tell you, if I can act better than God, I don't need him. Dear Lord, God can go back on his word, Ed can go back on his. And so, I'm just going to be like my daddy. My daddy's a liar, I can be a liar. You know, when I was a sinner in the world, I was just like my daddy the devil. Acted just like him, I'll tell you. Lied, you know, do whatever it is. Take care of yourself. In Colossians says this. Colossians says in Colossians, the second chapter, we find the apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. We're going to look at two different scriptures here in Colossians. Colossians, the second chapter, and in verse 7, the apostle Paul said this. He said, rooted and built up in him, or in Christ, he said, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, what? Abounding in it with thanksgiving. abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. What are we supposed to do? Abound in it. See, people have abounded in asking. People have been abounding in using their faith to ask, but people don't abound in the faith of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You're supposed to abound. See, when I learned these scriptures when I was a young Christian, Kenneth Hagin, and I learned these things, you know, I learned that it's like Brother Hagin had told me, I heard him teach, and he said, you know, I always spend more time thanking God than I do praying about a situation. I thank God he's working on it. Thank God he's doing it. Every opportunity that ever comes to my mind, I thank him. Lord God, I want to thank you. What we believe we received, you're bringing it to pass. Hallelujah. Why? He's abounding in thanksgiving. That's what he's doing. He's abounding in thankfulness that the word's true, even though his eye doesn't see it, his ear doesn't hear it, his flesh don't feel it, doesn't matter. He's saying, praise God, God is doing what he said. That kind of thanksgiving. We need to get more and more and more into that type of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Now, it's also in Colossians, the fourth chapter. If we go to Colossians, the fourth chapter, Colossians 4. Says this. Now, in which people term, they, you know, continue earnestly in prayer. Oh, yes, we ought to pray. We need to pray. He's right. We do spend time in prayer. But what is going on? Listen to this. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Being vigilant. See, the church hasn't taught to be vigilant in thanksgiving. We've been vigilant in asking. But we haven't been vigilant in thanksgiving. He said, what are you vigilant in? Thanksgiving. Making sure you do the thanksgiving thing. Making sure when you're praying, you're doing the thanksgiving thing. You're thankful before God. Your prayer life isn't something of asking and sitting around and you'll be happy when it shows up. Anybody can do that. Doesn't require any faith to do that. None whatsoever. We're supposed to be vigilant in the areas of thanksgiving. In other words, it's something that we need to pay close attention to in our prayer life. I'm big on this thing. You know, it's one of the things is getting over in the areas of thanksgiving. I heard Randall Greer say this one time. He said the Lord had spoke to him about this concerning the areas. And he said the church needs to do more. Instead of praying about a lot of things, they need just to get before me and just with thanksgiving and just spend time glorifying me and thanking me and that stuff. Because why? Well, it's sort of like a scales, you know. We have 47 tons of asking over here, and we have about 15 ounces of thanksgiving on this side. And you know what? God's expecting the church to do something about this. We should outweigh, the thanksgiving should outweigh the asking. It should outweigh it. Why? Because it'll bring things to pass. It's a sign of people's faith. It's a sign of thank you, Lord. God, you're doing what your word says. God, you're everything you said you are. You know, it isn't I just believe the Bible is a word of God. I hear people all the time say, I believe the Bible is a word of God. Well, you ask them what it says in it and they ain't got a clue. That's a dumber statement, you know. Saying I believe the Bible is the word of God. Who cares? What's in it? I don't know what's in it, but I believe it's the word of God. Well, I know you don't believe it's the word of God. If you thought God was really wrote that sucker, you'd be looking in it. Let's get real about this thing. Come on. You'd thank him for the book. I'll tell you what, I am so thankful for the book. The most amazing thing for me, over the years, I've done lots of study. I've read other people's books. I've done all kinds of things. I've studied other things besides Christianity stuff, you know. Just going over, like say, looking at books like on computers. When I first started out, I wanted to learn how computers worked and what they did, because I didn't want to have to send my computer all the time to have somebody else work on it if I got a problem. I want to be able to take care of it, and I want to learn how they work. I want to know what's going on. I was interested in that. Well, I read books and things on it. You know, you read a book, you get a certain amount of knowledge out of it, but it is amazes me. The Bible is the most incredible book because it's the living Word of God. Can you imagine a book no bigger than this? This book is a supernatural book. It is not a natural book. It's not filled with natural words. I study this book, and I have studied it since 1980. I have been studying this book. And I'm finally learning some stuff. I've gotten tons of revelation from this book, but the revelation I got, I realized really how much revelation's in here I ain't got. I've never had a book. There's no other book. It's like this book. Other books, you sit down and study them. You get what there's in the thing, and that's what you got. This book, I sit down and read the same scripture. And I turn around and look back over it. Well, now that scripture said, I read that hundreds of times. I never saw it say that too. Oh my God, look at that too. I never sit down and looked at a math book and say, oh my God, it said that too. That ever happened to you? No! This book is a phenomenal book. You ought to just be glad you got this thing. There's many people died that we got this thing. Why? It's God's Word. The devil has done everything to try to stop this book. Because it's the words of God. And it's the life of God put into pages. And when believers sit down and read it, that life, this thing reveals stuff. It is supernatural. How it can do it, I don't know. But it does it. I listen to people preach and teach where y'all sit down and look. Like Kenneth Hagin, he's taught some things I listen to and different ones, different people. And they've taught it and I've listened to it over the years. And I'll listen to it again, and they'll be talking about the same scripture, and I think, how come I didn't see that before? And I listen to them say that, and listen to them, and all of a sudden a revelation comes out. Sometimes I've had revelations from people teaching on stuff that they weren't even teaching about. But all of a sudden, bang-o, it opened up. I said, oh my God. Lord, I see that, I see that. That's because of this book. That's because of this book. See, we ought to be thanking constantly about this book. We ought to be talking to the Lord, tell Him how wonderful it is. He gave us the book. He gave, Lord God, thank You for this. Thank You that Your words got written down in pages and handed to us. Just think of the churches that started, that Paul went and preached. They didn't have a New Testament. They didn't have one. Only what they had is from the Old Testament. Most of them didn't have the scrolls of the law. They're already writing what somebody's saying and saying to them. We got it written down. The Bible says this, we have a more sure word of prophecy, it says in Hebrews. We have a more sure prophecy than if an angel appears and talks to you. That's what it says in Hebrews. You and I were handed a more sure word of prophecy in this new covenant that I don't care what kind of visitation you have, does not outshine what is written in the book. The revelation of the book comes first. I don't care if you said Jesus appeared. I'm going to tell you, if He didn't appear in line with the Word, don't show up for me. I don't want Him. My Jesus operates in line with the book because these words are spirit and life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. I only say what God says. That's all I ever say. Hallelujah. And we got the words written in a book. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People want a new revelation. They need a new brain. Dear God, they can't read and understand what they got. I'll tell you what, I was thinking about it yesterday. I'm sort of tired of people writing books. There's so many books written on certain subjects that, my words, it has done nothing but confuse things. Loads of books, loads of Christian books. I'm going to tell you what, they ain't nowhere, they're nowhere better than pornography. They'll destroy your mind and kill you. Because they're full of doubt, unbelief, and stupidity of men. If I read somebody's book and it don't line up with this book, we ain't going. I know where that book's filed. I have a garbage can and we got a dump out back here from Lebanon and they'll haul it there. And I have sent people's books already. People's given me books and said, you ought to read this. I start reading them and saying, ain't lying with the Word of God. That was a sweet one. Say, there we go. Goodbye. I don't have to sit down and try to filter through Christian books, try to find some hay when it's mostly sticks. You know, I was given one time a so-called Christian counseling book. It was how to counsel women who have been, you know, whether they were molested or, you know, they had marital problems and got beaten up or whatever else it was. This is how you counsel. Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful script. There people say, this is really a great book. In the opening chapter, the guy says who wrote the book, it's going to take an average of 7 years for a woman to get straightened out who's had this problem. And I just closed the book. I said, God, if You can't do anything better than that, they're going to still stay bound for 7 years, even with Your word going out. I said, Lord, Your word wouldn't be worth spit. and I threw that thing in the garbage can. I said, man, ain't going, that, you know, is that thinking a good thought, a pure thought, a holy thought? You know what's going to happen? It's going to take you years to get straight. You may never really get straightened out good. You know, you're just still going to stay pretty messed up. Woo! That's good, holy and righteous and pure. Woo! My God. What is this now? And we have this, it was called Christian counseling. That was nothing but the devil talking through somebody. Do you know, we talk about, people say the Bible says that the devil appears as an angel of light. Actually, it don't say that. It says he causes his ministers to appear as angel of light. There's devil ministers going around writing books today, standing in front of congregations, preaching junk as angels of light. And if you don't know the Bible, they own you too. See, you measure what's said against the word. That's what Brother Hagin, thank God, he used to say, don't believe it because I say it. You go to the Bible and find out if the Bible says it. Why? You have a more sure word of prophecy right here in this than even if an angel appears to you and talks. A more sure word, hallelujah. That's what you got, hallelujah. God was kind enough and good enough to make sure Ed got one of these. My words. We're so blessed. We have God's words written in the pages of books. We don't have to guess about it. We got to sit down, you know. That's why it cracks me up. People all the time, you know, well, you know, they always got questions about stuff. My God, read the book and answer a lot of questions. Like Randy Greer has a series that you've heard me say many times. He got a prayer series. He calls it How to Waste Your Time Praying. You know, there's lots of things you wouldn't have to pray for if you knew what the Word of God says. And you wouldn't have to pray long anyhow. There's things you find out true. You'd know how to get right a hold of it because what the Bible says to do. And see, this is what I've... Find the patterns that are in the Scripture. God's kingdom operates off of laws or patterns of things. Do you ever think about the Methodist Church? The Methodist Church got its name from method. Jonathan Edwards, who was the founder of the Methodist Church, he found in the Bible there was methods of way that God did stuff. He called them methods. Now, we might call them different laws, rules, whatever else. But methods, that's how they got their name, because he taught the methods that God taught him and showed him in the Scriptures to do concerning the kingdom. And people started calling them Methodists because of Jonathan Edwards taught on methods. Now, it probably was the same way with the Christians in Antioch. They were the world in Antioch called them Christians. That wasn't a developed name by the Christian church. That was developed by sinners. The sinners called them Christians, and Christian meant they were followers of the teachings of Christ. This is why I know many people aren't Christians who say they do, because they don't follow the teachings of Christ. That's what a Christian is. If you don't follow the teachings, you ain't Christian. You're just a person saying something religious. We're followers. That's what being a Christian is a follower of the teachings of Christ. Praise God, that's what I'm doing. I'm following the teaching so I can qualify as a Christian. If you ain't following the traditions of the Word of God, what God has given us, then you just attacked a name to yourself. But that don't make it. You know, you go to McDonald's, you can call yourself a hamburger, but you still ain't a hamburger. It don't matter. You can call yourself whatever you like to call yourself. That don't make it so. Hallelujah. If God called you it and you call it, God said you're a hamburger. Praise God. You call yourself a hamburger. You'll be a hamburger. Whatever. But I'll tell you, it's going to be because God said Abraham became a father of many nations. God said, I want you to see it. God said to Abraham, God said, I make you the father of many nations. God didn't say he was going to make him. He said, I've made you father of many nations. See, God's already healed you. That's why by his stripes you were healed. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sickness. See, it's already, that's what God's, you know, God's already healed you. Boy, when I got that revelation and found out I was healed, that was one of the most exciting days of my life. That was so exciting when I found out I was healed. Never tried to get healed after that. I always found out I was. Glory to God. And then what I do, I stop and thank God. Say, Lord, I just want to thank you because I'm healed. Hallelujah. Lord, I say this to God all the time. Something tries to come on me. God, I'm so glad that you've already healed me. I just want to thank you for that. I'm not trying to get healed, Lord. Devil, I ain't trying to get healed. I am healed. Hallelujah. I already have it. It's mine. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus, I just want to thank you that 2,000 years ago, you healed Ed. Healed Ed before he was ever born on the earth. Before Ed ever stepped into this earth. Before he ever came out of his mother's womb. Ed was already healed. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, I had to wait till I was 30 years old for somebody to finally preach it to me. What a shame that was. My God, sat and heard a million different preachers, different messages preached in and out of the church all the time as a kid. Drug in and out, drug in and out. They never told us. All I knew was God was going to get you. And you just, you know, your heart is always to do evil. Those kinds of things. Really excited. You know, you're really good. You're walking around. When you left church, they had a door about this high because you had it ducked and wide because God might be... God might be out there ready to get you. You didn't know about that stuff. Hallelujah. Well, folks, that's good preaching. Hallelujah. But see, we continue earnestly, he said, in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It's keeping ourselves over in that thought. And that's why it's like getting over the Word of God. That's why God told Joshua, you meditate on the Word day and night. You're going to set yourself in meditation of what you do. You're going to do that. Now, I want to just say this. This is not criticism, but if you don't do this, don't expect great success. Don't expect it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to take place. You find in the Scripture, he said about being, you know, be continuing prayer, be vigilant with thanksgiving. You got to practice these things. You know, it's number one because we don't really, you know, like this. You guys have heard me say this numbers of times. I haven't said it much here lately, but for a while there, I say, you got to be your own best cheerleader. A cheerleader isn't silent. One of your major problems, you're too silent. You talk your unbelief out. You say things to people and around people that is not good, but when it comes down to your faith, you don't speak things out. Well, number one is you got to learn, especially with yourself. When I'm alone, I have a good time talking with me. I'm sure people think that this man's nuts. He talks to himself. Let me alone. It's the only thing keeping me sane. I talk to me. I talk to me. I tell you, I've learned. I don't just meditating on things, thinking on the right things. You can't just think happy thoughts. You got to get those happy thoughts on your voice. You think them through meditation. Proverbs tells us to meditate on the Word. Tells us to do it. See, God's Word is life. It's health to your flesh. That's what it says. It's health. You ain't going to get that. You got to learn to get into talking that and talking that stuff and saying that stuff about you and about yourself, of saying those things. Be your own cheerleader. Nobody's around you all the time to pat you on the back and pet you. You know, we need to understand it. I realized this. You know, I was in a church, you know, for a while as a young Christian. The Lord sent me to. I didn't have anybody to turn around and pat me. Gee, and when we finally ran into Mike and Mike started going to that church, I was so glad to have somebody that thought on the same plane because ain't nobody else in the church did they, Mike? No. And God sent me there. See, I had to learn to be my own best cheerleader. I'd have loved to have had a preacher like me. No, but I had to go buy all the tapes and books and everything for myself. Nobody was giving them to me. I bought them. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars buying stuff to feed me so I could build myself and I could do things. And I still do to this day. I buy stuff. I get stuff that feeds me, that puts it in me. Spend money to go to meetings, to go where somebody will put something in me. I do that. If you don't do things like that, you ain't going to have what I got. You ain't going to get this excited about it, want to do a running spell and a little jig and act as crazy as me. I'll tell you, you get that by hovering over the Word. You know, we had, excuse me, there at Christmas, when Mike gave me a call about Darlene. Gave me a call about Darlene, and Darlene was really really under attack. In fact, Mike told me later, he said he was really concerned about it because he had never seen Darlene under attack like this before, so severe. So Mike gave me a call and said, hey, Pastor, he told me, Darlene, he said, we want you to agree with us. So we just got on the phone, agree, and he asked me to agree. They said, but you know, we're believing for it. And so I just prayed in agreement, prayer, believing that Darlene was healed, believing she was healed. And then what did we do? We spent time praising and thanking God. We spent more time doing that on the telephone than we did in the prayer. See, most people just do a long prayer, do all of this. Maybe if we get 47 other people to join in us, we could just get the whole church to pray. This might work. Well, we prayed. And what happened, Mike? That's right. God healed her. God healed her. Hallelujah. Why? He moves in line with His Word. I've practiced this principle, and the Lord told me, you tell people that if they will listen to what you say and they will do it, He said, they'll tell them this, they'll get healed every time. Those are the things. Believe in your heart, say it with your mouth, and then get thanking God for it. Hallelujah. That's the first action of faith you ought to have. That's the first action of faith you ought to have, is thanking God you got it. It's yours. That's the number one. I'll tell you what, many times I get to the thanking God, I don't even have to do any actions past that. It's just things automatically start working in line. Get over acting like it's true. You start acting like it's true. What happens? You go along and things don't seem to be working. Darlene got a second attack. And what'd she do? She went back to the thanking and thanking God she was healed. She went back over thanking God she was healed. Thanking, she said, he ain't gonna let the devil, he ain't bringing this back on me. Thanking God, every symptom left it and didn't come back after that. It was gone. You gotta learn to practice these things. You can sit and listen to me preach all you want, but if you ain't doing them, you're wasting your time. And I'm not saying be mean. It's just the way it works. You know? There's things, you know, that I learned over the years, you know, about with computers, and I, you know, because of, you know, learning and working, I even built some computers and that stuff. I wanted to find out things about them, so I learned things. There's certain things I wanted in a computer, so I did certain things. But I found out this, the way they work and what they do, you have to follow certain principles. You can't just do anything you want to throw. You can't match up any. I like this kind of motherboard, but I don't like this. And just throw in whatever you want to throw in it. If it doesn't agree with each other, it don't work. In other words, you have to find out parts that actually work with each other that are designed to do that. Christianity is take the word in a box, take all the promises, throw them, shake them all up, throw them out on the ground, and do whatever we want, and they're supposed to work. I can just attach anything to anything I want. I can just throw it to anything. I can do it. This is the way I believe. I don't care how you believe. I want to know what the Bible believes. I'm not telling you because of what Ed believes or I figured out. I didn't figure it out. Kenneth Hagin taught things. I put them into practice and found out it worked. I'm telling you what works. I'm telling you what works. It's just like with Darlene. We got in agreement. Why? I knew the thing was going to work. We're in agreement. This thing has to work. You know, I knew this from my side. If it didn't work, it's going to be their problem because it wasn't going to be mine. I'm believing this thing. Well, I know the outcome. They believed it. And it worked. Because why? We followed what the principle of the Word of God says. God's Word's not hard to follow. It's hard to follow your flesh and get the Word of God working. That's what's hard. That's what's hard to do. Follow your ideas and your thinking. That's what's hard. Folks been there, done that. I tried out some of my plans. They didn't work so good. They weren't, you know. Hallelujah. But you find what the Bible says and you take what the Bible says and you stop and stand and say, this is it. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to do this. Now, when I first started off in these things, I didn't see as many quick results as I do today in certain things. There's one thing, though, that I've learned that I can bring on instantly, and that's peace. Every time I can bring it on peace instantly. Instantly. I've learned not to worry. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful. Dear Lord, I wish my mama would have found that out in her life. I wish she'd have found that out. She wasn't taught in church. And I feel sorry for her because they went to churches. My mama loved God for what she knew and understood, and she loved the Lord. But I tell you what, she never lived in peace of mind. She's always worrying about something. Always worrying about things. You know, this I know about my mom. My mom, you know, when I was in Vietnam, I'll guarantee you, my mama prayed for me every day. But I'm just going to tell you this, it didn't do no good. Well, no, she didn't love me. I'm not talking bad about my mom. But I know this, my mama prayed worry prayers. She was worrying. She wasn't praying prayers of faith. When I came back, I asked God, how after I got saved, how come I didn't die over there? He said, I saved you because your father. He said, because he walked righteous before me. And then he said, Noah. He said, I spared Noah's family because he walked righteous. He said, the scriptures never say Noah was righteous. See, this one thing is I learned from my father. My dad never worried about nothing. He used to make my mom mad that he didn't. I remember Wanda not being able to understand it, where I can still see us laying down on the floor in the living room of 321 Canal Street in Lebanon. We're laying out on the floor. or laying there on the floor, and Elena was a baby. She was really little. She might have been maybe 6, 7, 8 months old, you know. So I was, I was a Christian. So I wasn't even a Christian a year at the time. But I remember laying on the floor, and we're there, and she said, "You know, Elena's feeling good. So I'm gonna run the fever," because I was laying there on the floor and had my Bible open, and I was praying and looking at some stuff. And she was on the floor there beside me, because we spent a lot of time on the floor with the kids. That's where they played, on the floor, And so we'd go lay wherever. I'd go read and study right where they were at, because be around the kids. And so, but anyhow, I reached over and I laid my hands on Elena and I prayed maybe a minute, maybe not that long. Prayed concerning healing. Took my hand off of her, went back over reading the Bible, and I remember reading it. Did you ever get that feeling somebody's looking at you? And I looked over there, and Wanda just has this blank look on her face. And it wasn't a happy blank, it was. And I looked at her and said, "What? What's wrong?" She said, "How can you do that? Just pray and then just go back over like nothing's happening." I said, "Well, I believe she's healed." I said, "If I believe she's healed," I said, "what on earth? We don't even worry about this thing?" Well, see, she didn't get that at the time. She didn't understand. She understands it totally today. She knows how it works. But she didn't. She thought I wasn't caring. No, well, she learned. That was faith. She learned that her caring was unbelief. Her caring was not by faith. She wasn't concerned about it by faith. She wouldn't believe nothing happened. She's waiting to see that Elena all feels good then. Oh, God did something. She didn't understand what was going on. That's most of Christianity today. They're going to believe it when they see something with their eyes. They feel, and when a person operates in faith, they think you're weird. You're one of those name it and claim it. Bless God, I am, and let me alone. I declare that I am. That's what Jesus was a name it and claimed it. If you ain't naming it and claiming it as yours, you're an unbelief. What on earth are you praying? Why would you pray and don't think God's going to do anything? It was like the Lord, chewed me out over it some years ago when Bill Clinton was president, because he said, I was praying for Bill Clinton and I'd pray for him and I got over some things. And the Lord said to me one day, he said, "Ain't doing you no good to pray for the president." And I just startled me. I said, "Well, why?" He said, "You don't believe I'm going to do anything anyhow." He said, "You go running around and blab mouth like I ain't doing nothing." And he said, "Ain't doing you any good to pray." And I just stopped and said, "Well, Lord," he said, "you're exactly right. I've been acting like you're going to work. I've been acting like you ain't going to." That's why, as I've learned today, I don't spend a lot of time watching anything that goes on the news and going on and happening. Why? Because I don't want to get my mind over to thinking in the wrong areas. I want to keep thinking right. I want to think on what's good. You watch too much news, I will guarantee you, you will not have good faith. You can't maintain it, because you will lose your joy and you'll get all mad and upset on what people are doing. Before I got born again, I acted the most heathen in my entire life. And one of the reasons why I act heathen? Because God was dealing with me and I was so uncomfortable. Christians go around and pray for people and then they don't act like God ain't working, because the person will act more heathen, so they'll start in their confession. "Well, they don't seem doing any good. We're praying for them." And they'll go back and pray more like, "God, would you please, I've been asking you to do something. Would you do something about that? Look how they're acting. Lord, they're just acting worse." When the whole time God's working and now he stops because they got him to stop because they're unbelief. To me, one of the hardest things that I dealt with was God dealing with me. I knew it was God, and I'm in rebellion. I knew it was God dealing with me, and I was uncomfortable. My flesh was not happy about it. See, this is what the Lord told me right when I first got born again. The Lord said to me this, and I knew it. He said, "There's no such thing as a closet Christian." That's what Jesus said to me. He said, "There's no such thing as a closet Christian." He said, "You're either for me or not." And he spoke to me in this because I was going through this thing. I knew that if I accepted Jesus Christ, I wasn't going to be able to go back to work without being a changed man. I couldn't play the part I played before and say I was a Christian. See, we don't have a lot of new birth Christianity going on. Jesus said you count the cost. I spent over a month of counting the cost of whether or not I was going to sit down and live this thing out. This Christian life, we need to tell people, you get to be a Christian free, but it's going to cost you your life to live this thing. We need to keep telling me some, oh, God will just do this or do that. No, He won't. You're going to have to walk in line with the Word. You're going to have to come in line with the Word of God. You're going to have to start to trust God. You're going to have to, that's just the way it works. That's the way the Lord taught me. And I knew this, and I spent and count the cost. And one night, I'll never forget, I came home from work, from H.B. Reese Candy Company. It was, I got off at 11, so by 11:30, I got home from work. I came home from work, and Wanda was up. Wanda went to bed. She, you know, was taking care of the girls and stuff, and so she went upstairs and went to bed, and I was downstairs by myself. And I made a decision that night. That night I decided, okay, I've looked at it, I'm going to live this thing. I had more sense than most preachers do today as a sinner. I decided, and that day, I went and stopped down and decided, look, I'm not going to play this Christian thing. I'm going to sell out to this thing. I ain't going to try to, this is what I'm going to do. And this is how I accepted Jesus. I got down and I said, I believe Jesus was Lord. And I accepted Jesus. I accepted Him as my Savior and Lord. I did that kneeling at a couch. And I said this to Him, Lord, I lived for the devil for 30 years. I've done everything He's wanted me to do. And I said, and I got really good at it. I'm good at doing it. I got good at following the devil. See, most of you think you were nicer than what you were. You were on your way to hell. You weren't a nice person. You're on your way to hell. You stank in the presence of God. You were a stench in God's presence. I knew I was a stench in God's presence. And I said, I lived, I obeyed the devil. I followed my flesh, did what I wanted. And I said, Lord, that ends here tonight. I said, tonight, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. You just tell me. I said, I'm going to follow you. I said, I'm setting my life down. This is what I'm going to do. That's Christianity. We don't have that today. We have all this fluff. Just come and accept Jesus and, you know, it'll just all work out. What's it turned into? No. People, if Jesus is Lord, if you confessed Him as Lord, that means you said that He has the right to rule your life. That's what a Lord is. A Lord is a person who's in charge. You are not in charge of your life. If you are, you're going to always have weeny faith. And it ain't going to do much. Jesus is Lord. I'll tell you what, I was always so glad I did that. It took time to make that decision. If I was going to really, I decided I'm following Jesus. I'm not running out ahead of Him. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And I'm really so glad I did that. And the Lord brought it. Because when after I became a Christian, after about a year and a half, numbers of people that worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company, where I did, and I would watch them. And when things were moving and the first thing God was moving, boy, people were on fire for God and bunches of them got saved. After a year and a half, 90% of them are cold. 90% of them are back to doing what they did. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, one day I just said, Lord, what is going on here? Why? I said, why am I so much on fire? Why do I, after this? I'll never forget. I can tell you, I can take you to the Reese Candy Plant. I can tell you where I was standing when the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's because what you did the night when you got born. He said, you committed yourself to me. He said, they didn't. Basically, what they wanted saved, but they wanted their own lives. I came to the point, he said, remember the confession you made? I hadn't really thought of it up to that point. And all of a sudden, it came to me, the confession I made that night. And I told the Lord, I'm going to follow you. Your Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'll do it. I'm going to follow this thing. You see, I was speaking words of faith. I spoke those out of my heart. Those words came to pass in my life. Most people never speak those kind of words. They're always afraid. Oh, if I do that, what if God asked me to go to China? Dear Lord, go to China then. But you ain't going to ever live a decent Christian life and you ain't going to have things working out. God ain't going to come and say to you, I'm going to bring your whole family in because you obeyed me. That ain't happening to you. Now, the Holy Ghost just had me bring that one out. I just want you to know that. We need to understand this thing. There is a level to walk in with God. And it's because of commitment to God. Hallelujah. And I've made a commitment to God. And I've given God my life. He has the right to use it. Everybody wants God's money from God. They want health from God. They want all that. But God can't have anything of them. I want you to understand this. We're workers together with Him. He has as much of me as I have of Him. You give Him everything, you can have everything. You need to learn the principle. Everybody wants what God got. God, to most Christians, and this is not a cliche, He's Santa Claus. I was good this year, I ought to get something. That's not, it's a worker together with Him. I'm not a little baby that crawls up on the knee of my daddy and please pat me and make me feel good. I'm a worker together with Him. Hallelujah. I'm walking with God. We're together. Hallelujah. He works through me and I work with Him. I tell Him things that I want and I desire. I talk to Him about them. And He, yep, that belongs to you. That's yours. You have that. It's just the same. He can look at me and He has access, wand and alert. He has access to our bank accounts. He has access to them. He can say what He wants about them. We don't literally have His name written on it because, well, you wouldn't do that anyhow. Then they would take it. But I'm going to tell you, His name's on our checkbooks. His name's on my cards, on my credit cards, my every card. His name's on them. He has right to them. He has the right to use them as He pleases. See, we need to get over into these things and we need to come over. I was raised up as a young Christian by people who were just sold out to God. God wasn't just something that you get what you want from. It's somebody you serve. I'm not a slave to God. I serve willingly. I'm what the Bible calls, there was different kinds of servants that they had. But you know, a person who willfully served, who wanted to be because he liked his master and he wanted to, the Bible said that they would take that person and he was supposed to go to the doorway of the house and they would put the ear on it and take a U and punch a hole in the person's ear and they'd put an earring in it and that meant that you belonged, you chose to belong to that man to work for him to do something like that. I'll tell you what, I went to the doorpost with God. I put my ear there and said, you punch it and you put the earring in. I'm yours. I'm serving you. I'm going to serve you. God already served us through Jesus Christ. In a sense, Jesus went and put His ear to the doorpost and got a hole punched in it to serve you. He deserves the same. He deserves the same. He asked, come sit in heavenly places. Can you imagine God giving us the authority of the throne of heaven? And I want to serve myself? Come on, dear Lord. The authority. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to get the scepter in their hand without submission. You know what made Jesus great? He was submitted to the Father. His authority worked in the earth because He was submitted to the Father. Our authority don't work unless we're under submission to Jesus. See, when we talk today about confessing Jesus as Lord, people don't even have any idea. Most ministers don't have. Most evangelists don't even have an idea what that means. It's just a phrase that you say to get saved. When you confess Jesus as Lord, what you would do is confessing Him as your Lord. Jesus, I'm going to let you Lord over me. That's what it means. See, we don't preach that to people and tell people. When you come to get saved, you're going to have to come under a lordship of something. You're going to either follow the devil or you're going to follow God, one of the two. It ain't no in-betweens. Ain't nobody in between. You're either following the God or following the devil. But we come and we say, Lord, here I am. Billy Graham said this himself. Billy Graham said, when he first started off, he said he was a Christian. At least he thought he was, I guess. He said, I really wasn't going nowhere, going doing nothing. He said, it wasn't until one day that I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. He said, it changed everything. I made Jesus the Lord of my life the night I got saved. I just got the revelation you're supposed to do that. I don't know, I thought you were supposed to do that. Kind of. I thought that was what you did. See, people don't get it. I've watched it. I had a woman years ago went to our church. She's since gone to be with Jesus, But she said, this woman said to me one time, she said, I was a Christian for I don't know how many years and stuff. She said, but I never really did follow God and blah, 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 blah. She said, it wasn't until I made Jesus Lord, she said, till really I got how to change life. I said, it's because you weren't a Christian before. Well, she just looked at me like, I said, the Bible says you need to make Jesus Lord to get saved. See, many people want a Savior. Does it say you're supposed to confess Him as Savior? Does it say that to get saved? No. It's Lordship. When you get this Lord thing ship straightened out and see how this thing works, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have more thanksgiving in a little bit. You're going to be more excited about it. The Word of God will open up to you like you have never seen it open up. See, the whole time since I've been a Christian, the Word's never been dark to me. I'm going to tell you, revelation comes out to me just like, dear Lord. I get revelation when I ain't even looking for an ass word, it comes. I can be out running and doing some walking or doing something, and God will start to talk to me. I was turning around and looking at some things yesterday. It had to do with dealing with science. It was a show on TV, and they were dealing with light and stuff, and I watched it. Just like that, God started talking to me things about the Word and talked to me about some stuff, and I was just sitting there thinking, dear God, here I am watching this. It just something sparked when they said a certain thing, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord started talking to me about some things. And I'm like, my words. I mean, I'm just sitting here minding my own business. God wants to be talking at me. He's my Lord. He has the right to do that, and I want Him to do that. And see, you got to, when He's not Lord, many times I want God to talk to me when I get in trouble, but in between, let me alone. I'm doing my thing when I'm happy. When I'm not doing my own thing, I'm happy. He has the right. See, I confess it. He has the right to talk to me at any time. He has the right to stop me at any time. He has the right to wake me up any time during the night to speak to me. He has the right to tell me if He wants me to pray about something. He has the right at any time, day or night, or whatever it is to do it. He has that right to do that. He's Lord. Does He have the right to do that? See, I've said it for years. And you know what? I say those things. And you know what? He wakes me up at night. See, you can't sit there and think, yeah, I believe that. What's your mouth saying? You go around saying that to Him. You sit and pray and say, Lord, I just want to let You know. You can ask me anything. You can tell me, I'll do whatever You want me to do. Do you have to ever talk to it? If you don't ever say it, it don't amount to a hill of beans you're thinking. It don't come to pass thinking. You say it. Pray is talking. Pray is not thinking prayers. We ain't thinking prayers. We're talking. When I talk to God, I move my lips and say words with my mouth. What would you think of me if I stood up here in front of you and said, today we're going to teach on this subject, and then I just stand there. Now hold it, I'm thinking it. I'm thinking all this stuff. Oh yeah, I'm thinking it. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm thinking it. Isn't this exciting? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking all this good stuff. Now you'd say, something's wrong with that man. Can you imagine God sits and looks at you? Say, what's wrong with that idiot down there? He thinks his thinking this stuff is going to do anything. Why? Because it's designed that your voice brings things to pass. You'll have what you say. Don't say you'll have what you believe. Don't say you have what you think. Praise God. See, we got to get over. We got to come conclusion. Sit down. Think this Christian life out. Don't come to some conclusions about it. Don't make it. Today, Christianity is just this general, nice, religious stuff. Generally nice religious things. But people don't come to conclusion of its great value and what it is and what it will produce things. It produced in me a changed life. I'm definitely not the guy 30 years ago in January who came to Jesus. That guy before, I'm going to tell you what, I have never run into anybody who knows me from the past who turns around and comes and they run to me and say, my God. You're the last guy in the world I thought would be a preacher. Dear Lord, you a preacher? My words. I tell him, don't be shocked. I did the same thing. Me a preacher? Don't let it throw you. But I look today. But see, what God takes somebody. See, this isn't something I was just designed into that you fall into. It's what God does to change us. What the Lordship of Jesus will do to somebody's life. And I think about this. He's done all of this over this time, and He's still got a lot of work to do on me. And if He don't do the work, it's just dead, being religious. And I'll start another religion. We'll just have another religion we'll start off. And just some more junk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Boy, that was some first January preaching, wasn't it? don't let it go. I'll tell you what, I used to thank so much that somebody talked straight to me about something. You know, I hate it when somebody sits around and they're telling me everything's going to be all right, and they told you enough to make everything all right. It ain't going to be all right. We need to know. We need to sit down and say, hey, man, we're in a war. There's a battle going on, and there's people around us dropping. There's people around us ain't making it. Somebody has to know how to make it to help other people. We have to know how to make it. Because it don't matter if I can pray for a person and God lets me use my faith. If I can't teach them or tell them how to walk it so they don't end up in the same problem again, it don't do no good. I don't believe in, you know, everything's just going to be all right. Just trust the Lord. Keep doing what you've been doing. It's been not working. Just keep doing it. No, it don't work. I want to know. If I need to make a change, I need to know. Hallelujah. I don't want to be the same anymore. The more the revelation of God comes to me, the more I think, my God, you need more change. You need more change. Hallelujah. See, I think change is good. If it's God, change. Now, that change is for change's sake, people do. But I'll tell you, God, change. Father, I want to thank you. Lord God, your word says, Lord, I've stood on this for years and I've said it and I've said it and I've said it. And Lord God, I place my faith upon it because, Lord, I know my own abilities. And Lord God, I can do certain things I can do. And Lord God, I have a certain amount of willpower. But Lord God, I'm counting on your willpower. I'm counting on what you have. And you said the good work that you started in us, you're going to bring to completion. Lord God, that Paul said that. Hallelujah. And he told the good work that he started. Lord God, you started a great work in us. He said, good, Lord, I never looked up to see what that word really meant. It might mean great. I don't know. But Lord, I know this. You did a great work in us. You started off in us. Lord God, you took us out from depraved sinners, Lord God, on our way to hell, lost for eternity. Lord God, a life, Lord God, that was selfish and self-centered. Lord God, it was only lived for us. And Lord God, through faith in Christ Jesus, you have turned us around. Hallelujah. We're not the same anymore. We're different, changed people. Hallelujah. Standing before you. And Lord God, there's only one we can give exalt with. It's you. You did this work. You did this thing. We didn't do it. Lord, I never did none. Lord, I had expectations and hopes and dreams of one day being right and walking right. But Lord, every time I tried to do it, I failed and I failed and I failed. And Lord God, as everybody, the new year is going to be this and the new year is going to be that. And Lord God, men start off on the ventures of their own. Lord God, it would be nice if people made Bible, you know, Lord God, things that they want to do this year. But Lord God, it isn't done by our abilities and our willpower. It's done by your grace working in us. And Lord God, I want to thank you the good work that you started in us, this good work that you did. Lord God, you're bringing this thing to pass. Lord God, there's grace. And Lord God, we come to the throne right now. Lord God is the throne. We're throne people. We're where we belong. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you said when we come to the throne of grace, you said there's mercy there. And Lord God, we've sure needed that over time, this stuff. Oh, Lord God, and I want to thank you. You didn't turn mercy aside, Lord God, because of our stupidity, even since we've been saved. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. Your mercy endures forever. But we thank you. But Lord God, most of all, I want to thank you. You said there's grace to help in time of need. Lord God, I don't know about the rest of these people here. I need it. I need grace to help me go to the place you want me to walk in. Lord God, I can't do it by my abilities. I can't do it by my own strength, my own ideas and plans. Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord God, you're giving us the ability to walk there. You're working in us, Lord God, doing in us what men cannot do, not men can accomplish. Lord God, it's your great power, Lord God, working in us. And Father God, that was your plan. That was your plan from the beginning. Lord God, the word tells us that before the foundation of the world, you sent Jesus. Hallelujah. You planned, Lord God. God, Lord, you know that this day that we would live in right here today, Lord God, you knew this that would happen on January 6th, Lord God, in 2019. Lord God, you knew that in this day, Lord God, the grace that we're going to need to carry out your plans and purposes. Lord God, you didn't wait till this day to plan to have that grace in motion. That grace was in motion, Lord God, before the foundation of the world. You already planned to meet us in this day, today, hallelujah. And Lord God, this is a day we ask for greater grace, Lord God, greater ability on our lives, Lord God, not to just carry out our old selfish ideas and plans, but to do your will, Lord God, to walk in your plans and purposes, to carry out your glory in these last days, Lord God. Lord God, your glory on men, Lord God, that men and women are doing what they cannot do on their own, doing things that only God can accomplish, that only God can carry out, that they would look upon us and say, they know God, because men cannot do those things unless they know God. And I want to thank you, Father God. We will walk in it. We will walk in that place. We will in these days and times walk with a great anointing on our lives. Hallelujah. Father God, lame seeing, blind, the lame walking, blind seeing, Lord God, the dead raised. Father God, us walking in the glory of God. Father, sickness and disease, Lord God, being delivered and people being set free from it, Lord God. Lord, mental problems, diseases, demons leaving people in the name of Jesus. Father God, it's the days of walking in that glory. And Lord God, those days are here and those days are now. And we thank you, Father. Father, Kenneth E. Hagin said, 1950, you told him that we're in the time of the miraculous. And Lord God, we declare we're living in the time of the miraculous. We're living in the time of the miraculous. We're living in the time of the miraculous now. Lord God, your people are a miracle people. Not because we're wonderful. It's your wonderful. It's your glory and grace working in us. And we thank you. Hallelujah. It's done because of you, Lord God. It's done because of your greatness and glory. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for anointing us, Lord God. Thank you for giving us greater grace. We appreciate it so much, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. There's a greater anointing on me than I've ever experienced. Lord God, that anointing is going to get greater day by day. Lord God, I'm going to walk in a greater glory, from one glory to the next glory. Hallelujah. Father God, by the grace of God, because the grace of God will take us to where we desire to go. Lord God, you filled us, our hearts, with desires, Lord God, for glory in these days and a move of the Spirit, Lord God, that is beyond the imaginations of men. And Lord God, we will walk there. Hallelujah. You will take us there, Lord God. Hallelujah. It's your plan. It's your purpose. We're just submitted in you. Jesus, you're Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just declare today, we're not Lord. We're not Lord. Hallelujah. You're Lord. You're Lord over us. We submit ourselves to you. We submit our lives to you. Hallelujah. We submit our money to you. Lord God, and our stuff, we submit it to you. And Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, whatever it is, Lord God, whatever you want from us, we lay it down before you. Hallelujah. You tell us we'll obey. You tell us and we're going to obey it. We're going to do it. Hallelujah. And Lord God, so Jesus Christ is magnified. We want Jesus on the scene so badly. We want Jesus Christ showing up. We want the glory of Jesus revealed in the earth. Hallelujah. And I thank you. I thank you for it, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit of the Lord says, many do not lack because they don't have certain things. They lack because they don't walk in the anointing or have the anointing. Go after the anointing of God. Go after my presence working and manifesting in you and revealing. Oh, and many things will come. Many things will be revealed and showed up. Many things that you desired and want will happen. Hallelujah. But just yield over to what is needful the most. Not with the things that seem needful to just the flesh, but the things that are needful so you can walk in the glory that God has prepared for you. So go after them. For I have those things of the Spirit that I have set aside for you. And And those anointings I have set aside, and some have not taken a hold of them. Some know that I want to do something, but you need to find out what I'm doing and take a hold of that. Hallelujah. Some have even heard God say certain things that he wanted to do, but you haven't put them on your voice. You haven't said those things. You set them aside, waiting for me, waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to step up and say, yes, I'm going to walk in that. I will have that. I will walk in that glory. I will walk in that glory. That's what I will do. Yes. And then you will see those things start to work in you, and they will come to pass even as my word has said. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your wonderful name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Glory, glory, glory.